one of the keys to my growth has been community, right? So when I say community, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, create a Circle account and throw everybody in it. It's like community is wherever you and your crew hang at, right? So it's like I make people feel a part of something. And again, goes back to the in-house marketers not having that voice. It's just making people feel like you're a part of something, building a real brand, being relatable with people, not being a perfectionist, you know, understanding that all of this is a part of the process.
You're listening to the Seven Figure Leap Podcast. We're here to leverage rich relationships and smart strategies to take your business to the next level. Here's your host, Dustin Reichman.
Welcome back to Seven Figure Leap. Another amazing guest, if you can believe it. Probably, I hate to say this because a lot of my clients listen to this podcast, but probably my favorite client, or at least one of my favorite case studies. Lachey Lewis is joining us today. And if you've been following me for any time, you've probably seen Lachey's story. But today we're going to go a lot deeper and get the real story and not just the, you know, LinkedIn summary version of Lachey's journey over the last couple of years. But Lachey, super grateful to have you here. I'd love for you to just take a few minutes here, introduce yourself to the audience and give us a snapshot of what you're up to today in your business.
Well, Dustin, first of all, thank you. Super grateful to be back where it all started at. But so basically what I do now is I am a B2B consultant and I run a content strategy consultancy. And I got my start back in, I don't remember what year it was, but it was like 15 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And I was about 15 years old. And so now y'all know my age. But I started building affiliate websites and started teaching myself content strategy. I took a heavy interest in that at a young age, entrepreneurship in general at a young age. So I started building these websites and teaching myself content strategy. In the midst of that, I was teaching myself what a top, mid, and bottom of funnel strategy is and what it meant. I didn't know at the time, but it kind of formulated into my career as an adult. So like once I got in my early 20s, I started working at content marketing agencies, moving around a little bit. I eventually, in my later 20s, went in-house and started doing content marketing that way. But after a certain point in time, I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of trying to like get my thoughts across in-house and people like not understanding what I want to do. Even across agencies too, Dustin, it was difficult to get people to take me seriously. And I don't know if I was because I'm young, if it was a race thing, I have no idea, but it was almost like people didn't take me seriously enough. So at that point, I decided to take a step out on my own. And all of that led to me running a consultancy. And the cool thing is that the moment I stepped out on my own, that's when everything changed. So when I was in-house, you know, I was telling people, you know, anybody that knows me or follows my content knows I'm a BOFU specialist. But, you know, when I was trying...
Bottom of funnel for those that aren't.
Bottom of funnel. Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, BOFU is an acronym for bottom of funnel. And it's just a representation of where somebody mentally is in the buyer's journey, right? So top of funnel, meaning high level awareness, middle of funnel. They know a little bit about their problem, but totally not sure. And then bottom of funnel, they're problem aware. That's what I focus on, again, because that's where I bring the value. And when I was in-house, I was trying to tell the people in-house, like, we need to focus on this thing right here. Because when I was working across agencies, they didn't want to focus on conversions. They wanted to focus on other, what other people call vanity metrics, which is like, yeah, you know, clicks and impressions and all this other stuff. But the moment I stepped out on my own and I started putting my thoughts on the internet, specifically LinkedIn, that's when everything changed. I started gaining a following and people were interested in the topic because they never heard anybody talk about it in this way before. I also think something else that's interesting is, in a way, I feel like I became a voice for the voiceless in-house marketers. And not that they're voiceless, but it's like they probably feel that way. They want their thoughts considered and their strategies considered and things like that. And it's like, I'm that voice for everybody that might be still in-house that maybe can't articulate or get their thoughts across how they want to executive leadership. So I think that's one of the bigger reasons for growth, probably. But that's my story. I've been doing this stuff since a youngin.
So we're going to come back and dig into the more recent history and sort of like how we crossed paths and what's happened since then. But yeah. I want to go back a little bit. And this, I don't know if anyone's ever asked you this question, and maybe this feels like totally normal to you, but I've never met a 15-year-old, especially 15 years ago when it was all newer, who's like, and you know, I started doing affiliate marketing websites. And so, like, so did you come from a family of entrepreneurship? Did this come from a lack and like, no one's giving me any money, I got to go figure out how to hustle? Like, what brought you into entrepreneurship as a teenager? Because that's a pretty unique story that from the people I've interviewed.
That's a great question. I do feel like some of it is, I don't know if I say hereditary, but it's like, that does play into it a little bit. I think what's more interesting is that I knew at a very young age that I did not want to work a 9-to-5 type of job. I seen family members work up until they're 60 and 50, and it's like they get this pension, and to me, it's not what they deserve for the amount of work that they put in. And I'm just like, no, like, I don't want that. And a part of me thought, like, well, am I lazy? Like, is that why I don't want to go to work? But as I started, you know, getting a little bit
older, as we're going to get into Lachey's story, she is the opposite of lazy. So, yeah.
That's a good point, and we'll come back. But at the time, I'm like, am I lazy? Like, do I just not have the work ethic? Do I not want to, like, what is it? But I knew, and I was very intentional about not working for somebody else. So at the time, you know, I was, again, going through stuff, trying to figure stuff out, building websites on my own and after school and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's because my intention was very strong from the beginning that I did not want to work for anybody else. And it was almost too strong, because sometimes you have to take one step to get to the other one, to get to the other one. But me, I didn't see that. I'm just like, I'm down here, I want to be up here. Right. So I don't know, it was ingrained in me from a very young age. I've been playing with computers since I was like 4 or 5 years old. Wow. And then again, dabbling in the coding and the website stuff when I was 15, and then got deep into content strategy at that time. And it just evolved in a funny way. But now that I think about it, everything that I did back then ties back to what I'm doing now.
And that's the reason for digging a little deeper in it. It's always really insightful to hear the highlights of people's journey, but also like starting to just reflect on like why, like, you know what, I don't never really thought about why I love to tinker with computers, or why at age 15 I was starting businesses, or why I decided at such an early age that I was not going to work a 9-to-5, because I had a completely opposite experience, right? And it's just interesting because it has a lot to do with our family of origin and just, I think, our unique God-given gifts and abilities. But many times it's awareness. Turns out I love entrepreneurship. I'm really good at it, but I don't think I ever heard the word till like college. Like, it was not even a concept for me. Like, because of that, now I'm super passionate about helping younger entrepreneurs and getting involved in like my kids' schools, and they have entrepreneurship programs, and my kids all have had businesses. And so the corrective action for something I lacked. And so I just love to hear more about that. So something else I think is really that I love about you, Lachey, and it speaks to your work ethic. Can you just give us a snapshot of your family? A lot of people don't really bring that up in the context of entrepreneurship, but I think it's important that people understand that you're not just like some single woman who works really hard. You're actually supporting a bigger picture here.
Yes. So for anybody that doesn't know already, I do have 4 children and I have to build and grow a business and manage things around them. And I think it's interesting because, and I understand why, but a lot of older adults kind of like look down on younger people for having kids young. And I'm not saying people should have kids young. I'm not saying, but it's like after I had my kids, it was even more of an incentive of me not wanting to go to work for anybody else, right? Because I'm like, I got to spend time with my kids. Like, I want to take them places. I just can't put a price on going somewhere on a Wednesday afternoon. You know what I mean? And it's not a lot of people. I'm introverted, y'all. So not a lot of people. You know, you get to kind of enjoy your surroundings and it's just different. You know what I mean? So it's like, honestly, kids were a huge incentive for me. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, I don't even know if I would have made it this far if it wasn't for them. Because again, when I wanted to give up, I'm like, no, no, no. I remember how it was with me when I was little and too much work and not enough time with, you know what I mean? So it's like, I want to change that narrative. Also, growing up in Baltimore City, a lot of impoverished neighborhoods, a lot of things like that. So I'm like, I want different for my family. As far as I can remember, there have been no millionaires up until this point. I would love to be the first.
You will be. I feel very strongly that you will be.
Yeah. And you know, it shows your children as well what work ethic looks like, but not just from a point of working for somebody else, but taking their lives into their own hands and saying like, oh, you know, do this, because the kids come in and they watch me do visuals and they want to learn. And I think it's just so valuable. And it's not that I'm like crapping on 9-to-5s or anything like that. Like I had to, and I think this is something good too, like I had to take a step back to take a step forward. So maybe 3 years ago, I wanted to work for this really prominent content marketing agency. And I didn't wound up making the cut. And I was so heartbroken about that. Honestly, that's how everything blossomed to what it is right now. Like that single moment, like sent me into a spiral, a good one though. But
that's great. Actually, that's kind of what I've been digging after. So you had the story growing up, the Baltimore City environment. Yeah. This idea that there's never been a millionaire in your family. Then you start having kids at a young age, which is something I did as well. I think people underestimate who haven't done that. Both the, it's like the positive pressure, right? It's pressure. Yeah. It's definitely stressful, but it's like super motivating as well. And I think when you're in the lowest of lows and you got a little one looking over your shoulder, it's like, okay, I got to do this. You know, it's like, I really don't have a choice anymore. You know,
that's a great way to put it. Like when you're at the lowest of lows, because again, when I didn't get that job at that agency, that was like a low, low. And I was like, the only good thing about hitting rock bottom is that you can only go up from there. Right. So, you know, I sat and cried on the side of my bed because I didn't get the position or whatever. And my husband was like, okay, let's just take a step back, go back to a 9-to-5 type of job. Luckily, I was so blessed to get such an amazing job where I had an amazing manager and it was very autonomous. It allowed me time to work on the thing that I wanted to work on. And it took maybe like a year and a half for me to like get in the groove of working on my own thing outside of the 9-to-5. But I was like, you know what? The skills that I'm trying to take to the open market is what I was doing at the 9-to-5. Not exactly. It was SEO related, but it wasn't B2B SaaS related. But I was able to take that step back to take that step forward. And again, going back to what I was telling you before, you've got to like take one step at a time. When I was 15, I wanted to start here and jump up here. Yeah. So when I had to go back to that 9-to-5, I felt like it was veering me off track. I'm like, I want to be an entrepreneur. Like that path is this way. But like I said on a pod the other day, I'm like, the destination remains the same. The path is fluid, right? Yeah. So you don't know exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And that's okay. That's something I really, really struggle with. I struggled with the how and obsessing over the how. Okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And then the moment I let go of the how and then just took one foot in front of the other one, things started. It's crazy. It's almost like things start aligning in your favor when you speak it and when you write it down. Those are like the two biggest things for sure.
Perfect segue, because I honestly never had this conversation with Lachey. So it's fun for me personally to hear the journey, because where we're going to go now is when I first discovered Lachey and where she first discovered me was last year, basically, or maybe the end of the prior year. But in 2023, our paths crossed. And I usually start these episodes by talking about how we met. I purposely didn't do that because I wanted to save it and let you share it, because I think you have a little deeper perspective on it than my experience with it. So Lachey, do you mind just kind of like jumping forward to how our paths crossed, and then we'll kind of dig into our time working together and what happened from there that's really catapulted you to where you are today. So yeah, can you take us back to when you met this Dustin guy?
Yeah, so I met this Dustin guy, whoever he is. I met him maybe, well, here's the thing. I knew about you years before I reached out, and I was so fascinated with your story with Fire Creek Snacks.
Okay.
About how you grew that. And you were saying like, oh, you know, I did guest podcasting and this and this and that. And from that point, I was obsessed. You know, again, I followed you around a little bit, but it was like, you weren't out there alone, standalone yet. Fast forward 2 to 4 years later, possibly. Wow, and I'm scrolling on LinkedIn. Yeah, it was a minute. And I'm scrolling on LinkedIn and I'm like, wait a minute, this guy looks familiar. And I know his name, Dustin Reichman. Wait a minute. And then I click on your profile And you're like, I teach people how to become profitable podcast guests. And I'm like, whoa, immediately, yes. Like, this is what I need. So at that point, I honestly didn't need to be sold. And again, I knew podcasting was the strategy I wanted to do, which is insane because I didn't like being on camera. At a certain time, I didn't even like the sound of my own voice. So I'm like, how am I going to get on podcasts? How am I going to do this? But something was calling me to not just reach out to you, but for this specific strategy, like the podcast guesting thing. So I'm like, let me reach out to him. Let me talk to him.
Here's from my perspective, it was really wild. So I just finished the first cohort of the Podcast Profits Accelerator, which is our flagship program. And this was in January 2023. The thing's full. The next one is full, right? We start on Thursday morning and it's Wednesday, as I recall this, right? And so I get this direct message from Lachey and she's like, I had this question for you about like actually a different coaching program, one that I had been in that she had seen my name. And I'm like, well, do you have time at like 5:30? Like I've got calls all day. And so we just hopped on a call and she's like, this is so weird. Like I've known of you for a while and I've been working a second job. I've been saving money because I've been looking for the right like coaching investment. Is there any way I could work with you? And I'm like, well, sure. I guess if we can handle 12, we can handle 13, right? So I was like, we start tomorrow though. And she's like, that's cool. So yeah, it was like, wow, this is the easiest sale ever. But it turned out to be like just this incredible blessing in my life because of what Lachey brought to me and what she meant to the group and the relationships that formed in that group. One of the most powerful groups of people I've ever been around, including Lachey. So did I kind of recap the moment? That's how I recalled it.
You did. And you talked about something I didn't mention either, which was when I did reach out to you, I did have two jobs because at the time I couldn't get past a 75K a year ceiling. It was like, that was my cap. Mind you, I had already 10 plus years of experience doing the thing. So I'm like, okay, I don't know if it's me or am I not asking enough? But even when I asked, it was like, oh, the economy, this inflation, that. It was always a reason not to give me what I deserved. But I got that second job in January of 2023. It was at like a small digital marketing agency. And I hated it so bad. The work was so boring and repetitive. And I'm like, I am not fulfilled from this. But again, I had something telling me like, you know what? Don't even spend this money. All this money that you're making from the second job, like just save it and put it away. And when I tell you it was almost down to the exact dollar that I saved, you can't make this up. Like, it's so funny. The thing is, the sale was, I know you said from your end, the sale was easy, but it was easy because I was already, there was no selling involved, right? I already knew who I wanted to work with and I knew what my intention was. There was a gap between my knowledge where I wanted to be and where I was at. And I knew you could help me fill that gap because you had done it for yourself. You had did it for Fire Creek Snacks and was very successful with that. And I had been following your story there. So I'm like, yeah, this is what this money was saved for. The stuff I went through with that job, it was all for this moment right here.
Yeah, no, so no pressure like, on me, but good news is it actually worked out. So you want to give us, I know we could have a whole episode just about like the experience in the accelerator and some of the changes that happened for you and some of the relationships that formed. But can you try to give like the 2-minute summary of just what happened for you when you joined that group and you're in there for those 3 months?
So much. So first of all, I thought the biggest value, so I got so much value, but the biggest value I thought I was going to get was the tactical strategy stuff. Cause you know me, I love tactical and I'm just like, ooh, I can't wait to see the templates and the frameworks and, you know, this and that. Come to find out, again, destination is the same, path is different. The destination was me learning how to do podcast guesting. The value I got from the accelerator was so unmatched. The value came from the people that were in there with me, right? And I always got to take it back to this time where I got super emotional on one of the calls because I felt it's so crazy. I still get chills thinking about it. I felt the breakthrough about to happen. It was literally like right here and I was stepping into it and I had people to help me and hold my hand to walk me into this journey. You know what I mean? Because it was 10 plus years of falling on my face, failing. And I had little tiny successes in between, but it was like, this was going to be the biggest success I had ever. This was going to be huge. And I had so much love and support surrounding me. And it was overwhelming to the point where I couldn't even, I just couldn't hold it in. But the biggest value I got out of that accelerator was the people. The second biggest value piece was the templates and the frameworks and everything that you offered. It was like, it was amazing. It's an experience I'll never forget. That's for sure.
If I may give an observation, I actually think the biggest value that I observed was your mindset shift and the self-belief. And I remember that, it's like, I'll never forget the moment that when you expressed that, we were just like having a like open kind of hot seat time. You said something to the effect of like, y'all, I feel like I belong for the first time. And you were crying and I was crying. It's not the only time tears have been shed in the program, but it was definitely one of the more memorable ones. And what was really remarkable to me was in practice, nothing had actually happened yet, right? It's not like you had actually landed.
No, nothing. Reach out to my first pod yet. Like, yeah. It was crazy. Yes.
There was an internal change that happened and you believed it for the first time, I think, that like fully believed it and felt this community support around you. And you knew you had a proven system you could follow. So, I mean, it's not like it's just one thing, but like when I recap your story for people, I'm like, there's like a lightning bolt moment where there was this like self-belief and it was like determination and
lightning bolt moment.
Clarity. There you go. Yeah, she got the lightning bolt on the, if you're watching the video version.
There you go.
All right. So we'll keep moving, but I love that part of the story. So yeah. So then you hadn't actually pitched a podcast yet. And then Tell us a little bit more on the practical side of what happened when you pitched a few podcasts and then like the big moment that really changed everything. I'll let you share that with the audience.
Yeah. So after all that stuff, after the amazing crew of people I was with, you know, I said, okay, let me start actually reaching out to some of these podcasts and let's see what happens. So I started reaching out. I reached out to maybe like 3, 4, 5 different pods. Everybody said, oh, come back later, not right now. Because again, I had maybe 1,500 followers on LinkedIn. Nobody knew who I was or anything like that. So naturally, they're going to be like, oh, shoot. But it was like that sixth podcast I reached out to. And I was just feeling good one day. I was just like, You know what? I feel really good. Let me reach out to this guy. I engaged with him a little bit on LinkedIn. I don't know if he really knows who I am. But I reached out to him. I had had a post go a little bit viral on LinkedIn, maybe like 260 likes of a dashboard I had put together. Again, learning from you, I referenced that in the pitch email and I listed things that I wanted to talk about on the pod. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to hit send on this. And I said something a little bit corny at the end or something like, if you shoot for the moon, you'll land on a star or something like that. It was really genuine. And I kid you not, less than 30 minutes later, I got a response and he was like, I would love to have you. And we booked it from there. But I think the most amazing part about all this is that it was Dave Gearhart at Exit 5. And that is the biggest B2B podcast in the space. And then from that point, my life changed drastically from there. And the cool thing is that the podcast recording was a week after the last accelerator session. So, and again, I have a calendar screenshot that I share with people. And I'm just like, it's amazing how all of this was so orchestrated.
I love that. Of course, I saved that screenshot, but as you can imagine, like your Google Calendar, and at the top is the last session. It's like it says Podcast Profits Accelerator, and at the bottom of the same screenshot is Recording Exit 5.
That's literally the value of, well, I can't even say summed up, because again, the people were the biggest value, but that one screenshot sums up how powerful not just the people are in the accelerator, but how powerful you are and how you're able to articulate how to do this properly. And it's like, the hilarious thing, and I loved stories like this, the podcast I had reached out to before his that told me no, 2-3 months later, circle back around like, oh, we would love to have you. We would love to get you on. And I'm just like, oh, sweet redemption. But
you're like, maybe I'll think about it. I'll consider coming on your podcast.
I got to let you sit on that a little bit. But no, like I'm famous now. But no, it was amazing. And it just really it just really all came together how it was supposed to. And I tell people like all the time, like just because somebody tells you no, doesn't mean the answer is no. The only no that matters is the one you tell yourself. So I think that's really important, but that's it. It just came together so beautifully.
That was last year. Again, I want to make sure I'm really clear about this. I am not taking credit for Lachey's hard work and all the reps she put in and all the knowledge and all the experience. However, I feel like it was like the perfect healthy storm that we met at the yes. moment, right? So she says she hadn't broke through 75K a year. She's taking on a second job to invest in herself. Then we meet and then she has some of these mindset breakthroughs and she gets clarity. And then she has the courage, again, giving her full credit, to take the proven template, but personalize it and send it to one of the biggest influencers in her space, lands the interview. You can imagine from there, the interview goes amazing. She gets lots of clients. She's become a repeat guest. She's like, there's a lot more to this story that we won't get into all those details. But what I would love to, the before and after, like a year ago to today, Lachey, share whatever numbers you feel comfortable with. You give us order of magnitude, but from not being able to crack 75K a year and having to take multiple jobs, what's Lachey's work life and business looking like today?
So I went from being stuck at a 75K a year ceiling to making, fluctuates a little bit, but anywhere between $400,000 and $500,000 a year. And that started with one pod. And not to say that that's going to be the case for everybody. Honestly, I wasn't expecting that to be the case for me. I was willing to put in the work. And I thought I was going to start on some small pods and work my way up. And that was the plan. But it just goes to show that, again, just because somebody tells you no, or multiple people tell you no, it really, and again, I don't want to misconstrue, but it really only takes that one to really change your whole life. And like you said, I've been asked to come on multiple times. My episode is in the top five for most listened, and it's just an amazing thing. And also, this has been amazing exposure therapy, right? So again, I didn't want to be on video. I didn't want to be on camera. I didn't want to talk, but when you force yourself to take that step out there, and then you hear all the, so much love from people. In my circumstance, I know people say, oh, you have to believe in yourself before other people believe in you. It was actually the opposite for me. Well, you helped me at least get that foundation where the point, like, I can do this. But so much love and support from other people. It's like, other people support me so much, I really almost don't have a choice but to support myself. Like, because at this point, I'm letting other people down if I don't, right? So,
yeah.
It has changed my life in more ways than one. Again, insecurities, all types of things. It's not just the money aspect. It's the community. So many amazing people that I've met. I've even met my best friend from being on Dave's pod. You know what I mean? So it's like so much added benefit, but it's been an amazing experience. And Dustin, I know you're going to love this one. I tell everybody I talk to, I've made a lot of investments over the past year. I've aggressively reinvested in my business. I'm going to slow down a little bit in 2024. Enjoy, you know, have some fun. But your accelerator investment was single-handedly the biggest ROI I've gotten on any investment. And I've made some big investments, but yours, the ROI is, I can't even put a price on it. I've gotten so many clients from podcasting, guest podcasting. They come in from everywhere. They said, oh, I heard you when I was on a walk. And then I Googled you and then this and that. And I'm just like, whoa. At a certain point, I was like, I can't keep track of all this. I'm just like, okay, if you heard me from a pod, awesome. I'm going to attribute it to Dustin, whatever. But yes, it's been amazing.
Oh man, that's so cool. And I didn't invite Lachey here just to brag on her experience, but really to highlight what happens when you invest in yourself and you surround yourself with people that can give you connection and clarity and self-belief. And then you take that bold action. It's amazing. She's literally in this moment, a 10X leap, right? We talk a lot about the seven-figure leap and making quantum leaps through relationships. And a lot of times that can sound a little theoretical. This is like a real amazing person with four kids doing the thing. And in a year's time made a 10X leap and will continue to, I'm sure. So let's say this has been awesome. We have about 5 minutes and you have so much to share. I'll have to have you back on and we'll just do a whole strategy session talking about social media. But we kind of talked a little bit before we started recording. You got to follow Lachey Lewis on LinkedIn. She's got amazing content, great visuals. She's just a wonderful strategist. And we have, looks like we have 169 mutual connections. So she runs with good people. However, I would like for you just to touch on what you've done to grow your LinkedIn, but then talk about what's next for your social media strategy, because I think it's really important context for people who are maybe fully invested in one platform only.
Yeah. So I would say start with one platform and really dial it in. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but I think LinkedIn is the best platform to start on. The organic reach is still, it's not as good as it used to be, but it's still not as bad as Twitter or some other social platforms. Your target audience is probably all over LinkedIn. It's a way for you to connect with founders and peers and things like that. And I think one of the keys to my growth has been community, right? So when I say community, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, create a Circle account and throw everybody in it. It's like community is wherever you and your crew hang at, right? So it's like I make people feel a part of something. And again, goes back to the in-house marketers not having that voice. It's just making people feel like you're a part of something, building a real brand, being relatable with people, not being a perfectionist, you know, understanding that all of this is a part of the process. Inflection periods is really a good key. So it's like, I'm going through things. I don't tell people 2 or 3 or 4 years later, like, oh, this thing worked to where I do something this week. And I'm going to tell you next week, this is how it worked. Here's how you need to do it. So I think just being relatable and just periods of inflection and just understanding that you're here to build community is going to be extremely important. And once you start really focusing on that, the leads, the sales, the notoriety, the influence, all of that stuff follows behind good intention. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. We had a mastermind session last week and Sean Anthony, who I think LaShea knows well, is another star on LinkedIn. So Sean was a guest expert in our mastermind and he was talking about, he's like, all I do, because he seems so prolific, like daily emails, daily LinkedIn, daily, you know, Instagram. He's like, all I do is do stuff and then tell people what I did or I show them what I'm doing in real time. He's like, I don't have like a plan or like a strategy. And I love that, LaShea, you kind of shared the same thing. It's like when I do something and it works, I just recap it for people and people love that. So I think a just-in-time teaching strategy behind social media, especially LinkedIn, is super powerful. And so you're doing so well on LinkedIn. Why not just camp out on LinkedIn forever? What's next for you on social media and why?
Well, the reason I don't want to camp on LinkedIn forever because it's somebody else's platform. It's not mine. So in the process of being on pods and talking to people and building community, I've built an email list of 2,000 plus people in maybe like a little under a year. So a part of that, again, is to get people off of another social platform because you don't know how the algorithm is going to go. It's very unpredictable. Right. But I think another reason is LinkedIn or any social network can also be a little bit of a hamster wheel where you have to continue to publish in order to get a result. Although I will say it's very helpful and it teaches you a lot of skills. It teaches you how to be concise, how to get your point across, how to sell, how to communicate. But I'm moving to YouTube. And the reason I'm going to move over to YouTube first is because, well, it's owned by Google, obviously, but it has that sticky effect, right? Where it's like you create one piece of content, it ranks for a certain keyword or a certain term, and you continue to get traffic from that months, years down the line. So I think it's important to, once you find either your service market fit, or if you're building a product market fit, then distribution comes into play. But the problem is people try to go for distribution before they found their fit. And then they get overwhelmed and then they start stressing out. But the thing is, you need to focus on one core platform until you figure out your positioning and your messaging. And once you have those things dialed in and you're selling pretty good, then you take it to another platform and repurpose what you put on the first platform that worked and you put it on the second platform. So my YouTube is just really going to be repurposed content of my visuals and good things that have worked on LinkedIn. I'm going to take it on video because apparently people like to see me on video and pods and stuff like that. So yeah, that's the plan. And then from there, it'll go to blog. Again, repurpose what's worked on LinkedIn and YouTube, take it over to the blog and, you know, everything ties together. Yeah.
I love it. I'm basically doing the same thing. So I've kind of had this three-legged stool of podcast guesting, my email list, and LinkedIn. Not nearly the LinkedIn star that LaShea is, but I do get a lot of value out of it in building relationships. Yeah. I just got onto YouTube in part because I launched this podcast a few months ago and I'm like, well, I got all this amazing content and it can be repurposed in so many ways. So I literally just met with my VA team yesterday about starting to repurpose and having some blog content for the website. And so this is all part of something I teach, and anyone that was maybe saw me present at Traffic and Conversion Summit or PodFest, I talked about a profitable podcast guesting flywheel effect. And what's really awesome, I think, about podcasting in particular, and YouTube is basically an ineffective solo or sometimes interview-based, but it's basically a video podcast, right? They're very similar in the fact that they're long-tail, they're searchable, they're just consumed in different ways for different reasons. But the point is, when you're producing that sort of long-form educational content, you can make direct sales from it. You can build relationships from it. You can grow your email list from it. There's a lot of great, like, immediate, and it builds your SEO. A lot of great immediate benefits a lot of people don't think about is then, if you think about, like, you go around the flywheel and right before you get to where you started, you have all this amazing content to repurpose, which makes the flywheel more powerful. It makes it accelerate. It gives you bigger opportunities to be on bigger platforms with bigger shows. And it's just like becomes a virtuous cycle. So
just to play on that point that you said about the flywheel.
Yeah,
it's totally true. Every podcast that I have been on since Exit 5 was the last email that I sent to be on anybody's podcast.
Everything else has been inbound, right?
Everything has been inbound. Yes.
Yes. And I'm at the same point. And we teach people in the accelerator, it's like, hey, the flywheel, you got to get it moving, right? And it's hard to actually get moving initially. And so you got to take some effort. So you got to get clear on your story and your value proposition. And then you got to be able to write compelling emails. A few, you know, you got to be able to get on a few podcasts or maybe one really impressive one like Lachey, but you get on, you know, 3 to 5 podcasts, this thing's cranking and you use that literally just to leverage and spin opportunity up. And it eventually is going so well that it all becomes inbound. And of course, that's kind of where I'm living now too. Yeah. So it's beautiful, Lachey, to just to recap your journey today. It's super inspiring to me and I'm sure it will be to the audience. So thank you for being you, for being transparent, for just coming on and being vulnerable here as well as in our time together in the accelerator.
Of course.
I just love what you're about and love to call you a friend and a client. And it means a ton to me, some of the things you shared about ROI and some of the transformations that you've encountered since we were fortunate enough to, not by chance, but by her intention to make our paths cross a little over a year ago. So Lachey, as we're closing up here, where should people go to find you? So if they want to hire you or they want to learn from you, what's the next best step for people?
Follow me on LinkedIn. Everything will be growing from there. The plan is to start a huge content marketing education company. So I provide a lot of free content. If you want to know about content strategy, just give me a follow on LinkedIn. You won't be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed. And you'll see her name here in the show title, but it's really simple. Lachey Lewis, LASHAY. Lewis, like you would expect. Go follow her on LinkedIn. And she's what you see here. It's like every day. It's just like an explosion of great ideas, strategy, content, and behind the scenes look at what's really working with content marketing. So Lachey, again, grateful for you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. And if you're looking for a transformation in your business and your life, I'm not going to promise the same crazy outcomes that Lachey has enjoyed, but I can promise you a positive ROI and a great experience. So if that's something you want to do and you want to use podcast guesting as the fuel for your flywheel, please come over to 7figureleap.com, hop on a call with us and let us see how the strategy could work for your business. So until next time, have a great day and we will see you back here on the 7 Figure Leap podcast.